Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
On my Instagram stories this week, I asked people, are you a giver or a taker? And 95% of the people said they were givers. Very interesting. That's what we will be discussing head on today on The Chalene Show. I'm Chalene Johnson, and I'm here with my husband.
This is Brett Johnson, and I will be driving the vehicle today.
You're such a giver.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just thought it was hysterical when I saw that 95% of people say that they're givers.
Actually, I screenshotted it and sent to you, and I just did a bunch of laughing emojis.
I know.
Because, well, first of all, most people might classify themselves as givers, but no poll should ever be 95%.
Anything, yeah. So, first of all, let's figure out, well, let's define givers and takers. So, a giver is someone who thinks of others. They're always trying to figure out ways that they can be of service, how they can make someone's life easier. They tend to be very thoughtful, selfless, and they are always thinking about other people first. I think that's how I would define a true giver.
And they do not wait to even be asked.
That's right.
That's when you elevate to giver plus.
That's
when you
right.
don't have to even ask to do something.
Yes.
You do it before it even...
It's your nature.
Yes.
A giver isn't expecting anything in return.
Nothing, but a thank you maybe.
Yeah.
Even if they don't get that, they'll keep giving.
Right, that's true. A giver will give to people that they don't know. A giver will give to people even when that person can't do anything for them,
correct.
Can't elevate them somehow.
Yes.
Now, are 95% of people that way? Hell no.
No, because you imagine what this world would be like to live in if 95% of the people thought like that?
It'd be very nice.
It would be insane.
A taker. How would you categorize a taker?
A taker is just somebody that their first thought isn't somebody else. Like they have a close friend and, you know, they might even know that they're going through something with their kids or at work or with their husband or wife or whatever. And their first thought isn't to reach out to see how that person is doing or if they could do something for that person.
A taker, I think, is someone who they have a little bit of a victim mentality. They tend to think like other people are supposed to think of them first. It's always like, oh, woe is me. Why didn't you take care of me? Like, can you do this for me? They don't have any problem asking for things.
Yeah.
And correct. I also think takers expect
things to get done for them.
Yeah. They just expect that people are going to ask about them. They expect that people are going to do for them. They just expect it.
There's a little bit of, and I just got to use the word, it don't throw things at me, in like entitlement a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for sure. So I think when people answered that poll and 95% of people said that they were givers, I assume we are all giving in certain situations.
Yes.
And that we've all given to someone. We've all done nice things for people. But I think there's a big difference between being like through and through a giver or through and through a taker. Okay, so now there's this third category. Actually, I think there's four categories.
Okay.
So I think the third category is called a matcher.
Matcher.
And a matcher is someone who will give only because they're expecting you to reciprocate.
Yeah, so that it's good, good.
Yeah, or tit for tat.
Yeah, got it.
And I find that to be more so true of people in business.
Yeah.
Phony networking relationships.
Surface friends.
Yeah.
Surface friends.
This happens all the time. Someone will do something really nice for me. Like they'll send me flowers and say, you know, I just want to reach out and tell you that, you know, what you're doing on social media, it's really amazing. And I see you and I honor you. And I'm like, wow, this is so nice. Oh my gosh, I love this person, honey. And you're like, yeah, that's really nice. Then the next week they're like, hey, can I get on your podcast to promote my new book? Yeah. I don't know. It could be coincidental, but it kind of feels like a matcher.
It's a matcher. It's definitely a matcher. I'm thinking of one of the biggest matchers of all
time. I bet I know who you're thinking of.
I know.
All right, so we edited out the names there, but we actually, the two people that we thought of as being matchers, we actually takers. Both agree they're takers. They're full-blown takers. They started off by acting like givers.
They started off by acting like matchers, and yes. They soonly became takers.
Full-blown takers with a capital T.
Yeah, they are takers to the max.
Phony baloney takers. You know why those kind of people bug me? Because it's fake shit. Like, you're just pretending, and it's all about networking and getting ahead, yeah. And I hate that. Yeah. I hate that fake shit.
I would just rather the person come out and just say, hey, this is what I got going on. Can you guys participate or something? Or
yes.
Or do this or something like that.
And it's, you
like,
know what?
The whole, like, stroke the ego, like, build you up.
So it's fake. Like, I hate that. We do not play that game.
Well, first of all, I don't need it. So it's like,
oh, yeah.
You can go talk to somebody else.
And it's funny because, you know, we run in whatever, I guess, you know, business that we're in, and because of our platform, etc., like, people who network and play those games are always trying to pull us in on those games. We're like, we don't play that game. And you can kind of tell the people who do that because they start, like, associating with, like, whoever's, like, on the rise.
Yeah.
It's just cheesy. Like, just be a good person and be legit. And if you need to collect a whole bunch of new friends, then you're probably not taking care of your old friends.
I'm going to start getting them a t-shirt. Send it to them. And whenever I feel like this is happening, it's going to call Team Taker.
Team Taker. And it'll just be an inside joke. They won't even know what it means.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the fourth category.
Yeah, what's the fourth category?
Just a healthy person.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that a little bit, where it's like they do a little bit of both.
Yeah. That's a healthy friendship. A healthy friendship is one where you realize that there are times where your friend might need more. And you give them more. And there may be times when you need more and they give you more. And that's like give and take. And you're always, you know, you reciprocate back and forth.
Yeah, you're in sync with that person.
Yeah.
So it's healthy.
Yeah.
So that's a healthy relationship, whether it's friends. And it's also really good if whoever you're married to.
Are we healthy that way?
Yeah.
You don't think I'm a taker?
No.
You swear?
100%. Because you're always asking me if you can do things for me,
uh-huh.
And you know, a lot of times I don't say, I appreciate the ask. I always appreciate the ask.
Yeah.
But no, I think that we have a healthy relationship of give and take.
Yeah, I think so. I'm glad you think so. You know, I'm always trying to get you to allow me to make you food.
Yeah.
But I can tell you don't want me to make you food.
I think it's more, that's different, I think.
Why?
Because that's like my hobby.
Yeah.
It'd be like me telling you I want to make up the choreography for this.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because I do feel like that give and take in our relationship. But sometimes, like, you know, I have to produce a lot more content than you do.
Yeah.
Like, you're running the operations or whatever. You can shut them down at 5 o'clock. Well, if at 5 o'clock I haven't finished the podcast, I still have a couple more hours worth of work.
Yeah.
So, like, the way that I'm giving is by creating the content for our company. Mm-hmm. And the way you're giving is you're making dinner.
Yeah, or doing whatever else needs to be done at that time.
Right.
To get things,
And I don't mean to make it sound like you're like Mr. House Husband. I'm just saying, like, sometimes when it comes to content, there's no way you can help me with that. You can handle all the operations and phone calls, planning, strategy.
I'm very secure in
everything.
My role.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, but the one thing you can't do is produce content that I'm supposed to produce.
Yeah, because our tribe and our customers aren't following our journey for necessarily my take on things.
I think they are. But like, for example, I've been working on the pyo workouts.
Correct.
You can't
like
do that.
For 2 weeks and then I can't do that.
Yeah. All right, so we're healthy.
Yeah.
I talked last week about, speaking of healthy, major divorces. So, like, Rachel Hollis.
Called it.
And you called it? Oh, boy.
You know I did.
Yeah, you did.
18 months ago.
You did. You did. And I was like, that's not nice. And you're like, mark my words.
There were certain things I saw that I was like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you're good at that. You're really good at that, and so is Lauren Raske, who works for us. Like, these two have radar. Their BS meter is like off the charts accurate. I can be bamboozled.
Kristen's pretty good too.
Oh yeah.
You put Kristen, Lauren, and I in the same room together.
Yes.
We'll sniff it out.
Brooke's pretty good too.
Brooke's good at it too.
I can be easily bamboozled. You know what? I just like to give everybody the benefit of the doubt.
You're 100%. You give everybody the benefit of the doubt, and you sometimes give them one or two strikes, too.
I do, because I forget.
Yes.
You'll be like, you're doing what for that person? I'm like, why?
Why don't we, you're always like, well, why don't we like this person?
How come we don't like them again? And you're like, do you not remember what they did? I'm like, oh, I forgot.
Well, I do have an elephant tattooed on my forearm.
That's true. You never forget. So those are the four categories. The reason why I think it's important to have a healthy category is because I personally believe, because I've been there, that it is not healthy to exclusively be a giver. And it is not healthy to exclusively be a taker. If you are exclusively a taker, you will never advance in your life. You know, there's a part of you that's got a little bit of a victim mentality. People who are pure takers, and very few people realize that they are, but I'm gonna tell you that some of the telltale signs of a taker is they're often people who were raised in a chaotic, unsafe, unpredictable environment. And one of the ways that they learned to cope was by always having a problem or an issue or a drama, a new situation, so that everyone's always like rushing to their defense or rushing to sweep in and help and save them. And that's kind of how they survived. It became almost their identity. It was to be saved. And that's how they felt worthy. Like, if people are stepping in to help me and listening and trying to solve problems for me, well, then therefore I'm worthy. It's like the person who's like got Munchausen syndrome, or they're always sick. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll invent an illness because if I'm ill or if I'm sick or if there's something wrong, then people will express how much they care about me.
Yeah.
If people are always stepping in to do things for me, well, then it's clear that people care for me.
Yeah. Those are the type of people that it's harder for me to give to when I recognize that. It's harder for me to, because my natural tendency
is... Do you pick up on it pretty quickly, you think?
Yeah, I think I do. I think I have a pretty good radar for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, because my natural tendency is just to be a giver and not wait to be, like, asked to do something, but just to kind of, like, see not the opportunity, that's the wrong word, but to see, like, what they need.
Yeah.
And take care of it.
Yeah, you would almost give to people who haven't asked for it.
Correct.
And that's one thing I always notice you do. Like, you'll be like, hey, let's do such and such for so-and-so, because you've heard that they're going through a tough time, or, you know, you find out about it. But when people ask, you're a little bit more like, eh.
Yeah, I'm not a big on the, like, either an ask, or I'm really anti, you tell me where, like, somebody tells me where I should, like, be a giver.
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't fly well with me at all.
Yeah, it's true. But I also think it can be very unhealthy to be purely a giver.
Yeah.
And we both have been there.
Yep.
I've been in situations, and the reason why I say it's unhealthy, because you have to look at what is your intent, right? Like, we started this podcast off by defining a giver as someone who gives without expectation, but that doesn't even exist. And giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, if I'm going to be completely transparent, it's because it makes me feel good. So there is something I want in return.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel more powerful, more in control. It's one of the reasons why I don't like to be a recipient.
Yeah, because then you feel like you almost get into that matcher thing where you feel like you have to do something.
Yeah, and then that just makes me feel like I have control.
It doesn't make you feel as good, because you didn't like you're doing it because somebody else did something for you. It just doesn't feel genuine.
I also feel, if I'm being honest, weaker and more vulnerable when I'm a recipient.
With everybody?
Not with you. I mean, certainly with my spouse, but with even with friends. Yeah, I don't like...
I disagree. I think with a true person that you know as a giver, when they do something out of the, like, unexpected,
mm-hmm.
without, like, you saying, like, you needed this or something like that, and it's... Then I don't think you feel vulnerable or weaker or something like that. I think you feel a true sense of, like, that person, this was out of, like, love.
Yeah.
That this was, like, because you just got, recently you got something just totally unexpected, just off the, like, with a cute little note, and that didn't make you feel
weak,
but that was a sign of that person being a giver.
Right.
And not knowing that you were going through anything, or not, like, in a...
Was that Wahida?
No.
Mia?
Michaela.
Oh, Michaela? What was that?
Remember she gave you just flowers?
Oh, yeah. You're right.
You know, and
yeah, that's interesting. So and there's three instances. So like Wahida, yep. Mia, and Michaela. And those are all like they felt very genuine.
Yeah. And my closest friend Brian does that every once in a while. You know, just will send something or send a text or something like that, you know. Yeah. My guy friends don't send gifts. I don't know.
Brian was sending you a gift every month for your birthday. He signed you up for some club.
Club, but I mean, he just sends text messages to me randomly and just, you know.
Here's the thing that makes me uncomfortable.
Like, ask me, like, how's your dad doing?
Yeah, see, that's awesome.
You know, that kind of
stuff. That's the kind of giving that I like to receive is when someone's thinks enough to say, like, how's it going?
Yeah.
Like, that's really meaningful for me. I try to do that for my friends all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I have a friend that does that, I like to be on the receiving end of that.
Yeah.
Where I think it's unhealthy is when you're giving because you're doing it because you want the credit. You're doing it because you want to feel more powerful. You're doing it because you want to be superwoman. I mean, I really had to break that wounded bird. I used to collect wounded birds, you know this, and it was hard on our marriage because you would be like, all you're doing is trying to solve this person's problems. You're giving them money. You're waking up first thing in the morning and writing like long letters for them and like solving like all of their problems. And like, you have no energy for us or our family or our business right now. Why are you doing this? And the reason why I was doing that is because I gotten into a pattern that takers would look for me.
Yep.
Because it would serve me to take care of them.
Yep.
But it wasn't healthy.
No. It's funny how I think we were talking about earlier that takers can like find givers. Like they know.
Yeah.
Like they, you know what I mean? They can latch onto them. Or maybe the giver just has that feeling like, oh, that makes me feel good. And this person always needs it. So I just.
Speaking of feeling good.
Yeah.
And being a taker.
Yeah.
Your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Sierra
mm-hmm.
is a taker of my CBD gummies.
Yes, she is.
I just ordered 5 more bottles because we had run out and we ran out of the gummies. So, by the way, I want to talk to you guys about My Soul CBD. That's the company that I finally landed on after doing a lot of research on CBD companies. We've landed on.
Yeah.
In fact, this week, because my shoulder was getting sore from.
I was like, hey, I use this cream. It's a CBD cream that you rub on like a sore spot or sore muscle or something like that. It's unbelievable before a workout, and it's also awesome for after a workout and also right before you go to bed.
Yeah, so I was like, huh, okay, I'll try it. It's got a little bit of a minty scent to it, almost like a, I don't know, one of the, you know, like a pain rub.
Yeah.
Anyways, I put that on my shoulder because my shoulder started, I was overtraining from doing too much pyo day after day after day getting ready to film this new video. And instant relief. The gummies are, they're good. They're really yummy. My only issue with the gummies is they are like a candy.
Yeah.
So that's why that's why I had to order 5 more bottles of it because Sierra keeps taking them.
They nailed the flavor so unbelievable on the gummies. I mean,
my favorite though, so Sierra loves the gummies. Brett loves the pain cream. I love, they're called dream capsules and they are a combination of CBD and melatonin, and I take them before I go to bed, and there's zero THC, which is the hallucinogenic quality that some people think of when they think of CBD. But there's no THC with My Soul CBD at the moment. All their products are THC free. That means if you have to do a drug test, you will pass. They are triple lab tested. Their products are 100% organic. They are made in the USA. They are farmed in the USA. That's huge. Everybody and their brother has a CBD company out there right now. They are not all the same. Some of that stuff out there is MCT oil. It's garbage. Or it has THC in it and you won't pass a drug test, even though it says THC free. My Soul CBD is 100% guaranteed not to have any THC, and they've got a boatload of products for you to try, which are all just delicious flavors, including the little drops you can put in your water or in your coffee or tea. You won't even taste the flavor, or you can flavor your water. So lots of different products for you to try, and My Soul CBD is giving you 20% off when you use the code LIFER. So definitely take advantage of that, mysoulcbd.com. And then remember to enter the code LIFER because...
How much they get off?
20%.
Wow.
I know. It's pretty dope. And we appreciate anyone, especially a company like My Soul CBD, for sponsoring the podcast. That's what makes this possible. So let's finish up by suggesting some takeaways, some things you can do. Like, I'm sure this is interesting. I'm sure you're thinking of in what ways you are a giver and a taker, but what can you do? Every episode, I want to make sure there's something you can do that makes your life a little better. So my first suggestion is for you to look at your three most important friendships. And I want you to write those three people's names down. And I want you to spend some time thinking about each person and asking yourself how much of a giver you are in those relationships. And if you could be giving more, or if perhaps you need to establish some boundaries. And remember that givers have to sometimes ask. Because givers, we typically don't want to ask. We teach people to take from us. So you can't be mad about it, or angry, or annoyed, or frustrated if people are always taking from you, because that's what you've taught them to do, right? So evaluate those top three friendships and just ask yourself how you might need to adjust them. Okay, and number two. Number two is for those of you who are givers. You know you're a giver and you're in a draining relationship with a taker. And what suggestions do you have for that person? What do they need to do? Because we all know. We know who that person is who's maybe they're starting to drain you, or maybe you're on empty.
I think you're still going to be friends with that person. You have to put them into a different, like, classification. So I'll give you a baseball analogy. So they're still playing, but we're going to put them out in right field.
Okay.
Right? So they're not like the main core infielders. Okay. You're just going to put them out in right field for a little bit and just know that, you know, they're always going to be there for you.
No, they're not. They're always going to be in your life, maybe. But that's the thing, is the taker isn't there for you.
Meaning they're going to be in your life. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But they're always going to be in your life. But you know that, like, you're just not going to get a lot from them. You're always going to have to give.
Okay, yeah. I think that's important advice. I think that's great advice, honey. I think it does fall on the shoulders of the giver to set up those boundaries. Because 100%. You're now going to have to change the rules, and you can do this by having a conversation. But more often than not, the conversation you need to have is with yourself and just say, like, I don't need to call them every day. I don't need to, like, when I was in this situation, I would wake up and every day I would think, okay, how can I save them today? And then I was annoyed that I was spend the whole day, like, trying to handle their problems or pay their bills or whatever. But it was me who was looking for it.
Yeah.
So maybe number two is to really remind the givers that you have to set up those boundaries and you have to stop going in and looking for ways that they can take from you. That's it. So I'd love to hear from you. Send me a message on Instagram. Let me know you listened to this episode and let me know if you are going to follow through on those two assignments. Evaluating your top three friendships and setting up more appropriate boundaries with your... More boundaries with those who...
With your takers.
Your takers.
Your taker boundaries.
You're a wonderful giver.
Thank you.
Yeah, you are. You're a healthy giver.
You are too.
Thank you, honey. Listen, we love you guys. You can follow Brett Johnson on Instagram. What's your Instagram handle?
I think it's 11 Brett Johnson or Brett Johnson 11, one of the two.
Oh my goodness.
What am I supposed to do?
Like, we'll put in the show notes. Brett Johnson 11.
Yep, Brett Johnson 11.
Brett Johnson.
One T.
With one T. Brett Johnson 11.
I'm a giver. I gave my other T to somebody else.
Oh boy. On Instagram. I'm Shalene Johnson. Be sure to follow us. Hey, do me a favor, would ya? We just double check and make sure you're subscribed. That's huge. And you know what? If you really want to be a giver today, you could give us a 5-star review. That'd be super dope. Be sure to reference the episode that you're listening to, because I love reading your reviews before I start the show. All right, guys. Love ya. Mean it. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.